Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound, a mark, a yen, a buck or a pound is all that makes the world go round. That clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Domenico Lombardi, who's an expert on G20 and G8 summits, international monetary relations, and global currencies. His current project focuses on the recent international financial crisis, the ongoing European crisis, and reforms of the IMF and the World Bank. Welcome to Background Briefing, Domenico Lombardi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you're following the Italian elections, of course, and I think everybody in Europe is concerned, are they not? Because if Monti, Mario Monti, the technocrat who brought in the austerity measures that are so unpopular, he's just dropping like a stone. And if that continues, the center-left coalition won't have enough seats, and therefore you'll have stalemate with Berlusconi causing more mischief, I would imagine.
Yes, that's right. It's really a hard election, this, because this election is being held against the background of a falling economy. Last year, the income actually dropped by 2.2%. This year, it's going to be more than 1%. And clearly, there is a lot of unhappiness about the austerity policies led by the technocratic government of Mario Monti. So that said, clearly this has reinvigorated Mr. Berlusconi's coalition. He has been running a campaign, against Merkel, against the euro, against the sort of German-imposed austerity policies. And this, of course, has given him some traction, especially in the latest few weeks, with the consequence that if you look at the latest polls, clearly Mr. Berlusconi's coalition has gained quite some steam, and it's not clear at all whether the center-left will be able to muster a majority in both chambers. Most likely, when be unable to have a majority in the upper chamber, in the Senate, and therefore will have to seek an alliance with the Mr. Monti centrist group.
But the surprise in this election, and he's actually coming in third, is the comedian, Pepe Grillo, right? He's on his tsunami tour. He attracted 500,000 people in Rome and had tirades against corrupt politicians and bankers, which apparently Italians are totally ready to hear. They're fed up with their political class by the sound of it.
In a way, it's easier to explain the success of Beppe Grillo's five-star movement. This is a movement that clearly galvanizes all those who oppose the system, who feel have been betrayed by the system. And clearly, with an economy doing so badly and with prospects so gloomy, it's not difficult to see why he has been so successful. I think it is more of a question mark why Mr. Monti's own electoral list has been doing so badly. According to the latest poll, he seems to be close to 10%. And to be, as you noticed, to come as a distant force in the current elections, if the polls that we have seen so far are going to bear any connection with the final outcome. And I think a lot really reflects the unhappiness about the tax increases, the austerity-led policies that Mr. Monti has enacted, and he is now paying a heavy electoral toll for those policies.
And of course, Berlusconi is promising to cut taxes, right? That's his answer.
Actually, Mr. Berlusconi has been...
Oh, tax refunds.
Yes, but clearly Mr. Berlusconi is running on an anti-austerity policies platform, including the commitment he took to refund some of the tax increases put by Mr. Monti's own cabinet. And clearly, you know, some segments of the population who have been really, you know, short of cash, Mr. Berlusconi's appeal has definitely increased.
Again, I'm speaking with Domenico Lombardi, who is an expert on G20 and G8 summits, international monetary relations, and global currencies. His current projects focus on the recent international financial crisis, ongoing European crisis, and the reform of the IMF and the World Bank. And we're talking about the Italian elections taking place today. I believe they continue through tomorrow, do they not, Domenico?
Yes, you know, in Italy, usually you vote both on a Sunday and on a Monday, and therefore, you know, the polls will be closing tomorrow towards midday, and soon after they close, half an hour later, also the first polls will become available.
And apparently, I was surprised to learn that you have to be 25 years old to vote in Italy, whereas it's 18 years old here.
That's right. In order to run for a seat in the lower chamber, you need to be at least 25 years of age. In order to run for a senatorial seat, that is for a seat in the upper chamber, you need to be at least 40 years old.
So tell us about the center-left Democratic Party led by Pierluigi Bersani. Is that the old Social Democrats?
It is a coalition that ranges from liberal Catholics to some leftist radical groups, and therefore it's you know, it boosts a wide range of politicians. Some are very reformist minded, some others are more radical, and actually have you know, openly said that they want to revert the Montes agenda. And therefore, you know, Mr. Bersani is going to have a very tough job if indeed becomes the prime minister, because he will have to, you know, build a really, you know, he will have to make sure that the radical groups in his own coalition will not block the reformist policies that his cabinet will have to implement. And this is a very tough call. And in the end, this is something that market investors will be watching very closely. And this is certainly, you know, the top priority for the new prime minister to implement reforms, not just tax increases or austerity reforms, but also structural reforms, liberalization in the product markets, further liberalization in the labor market. And it's not clear at all whether the center-left coalition, which is also very close to trade unions, radical trade unions, and other leftist groups, will be in the best position to do so.
And, of course, Mr. Bersani is a former communist, and he's been, throughout this election, he's been playing up his Catholic upbringing. That's a bit of a paradox, isn't it?
I would say Mr. Bersani is quite pragmatic. He's not dogmatic, and to his credit, one should say that when he was Minister for Economic Development in the Prodi cabinet a few years ago, he did try to implement a wide-ranging agenda of liberalization and reforms. I mean, it is also true that he was stopped by his own party members. And therefore, one will have to see whether, you know, this time Mr. Bersani will be more effective, will be able to win over the opposition of his own party members. Certainly, Italy's economy is doing very badly. There is really no prospect in the immediate for a resumption of growth. And therefore, he will have really to implement some shock therapy in order to bring the Italian economy back to growth. And that's not clear at all at this present stage.
Well, Domenico Lombardi, I mean, when I mentioned earlier that Silvio Berlusconi is up to mischief, I mean, I find it extraordinary to think that he could even have a political comeback after the endless scandals that surrounded his prime ministership. And on Friday, campaigning, he made this extraordinary promise. He said that if he won, he would personally refund the unpopular property tax paid by Italians in 2012. I will take 4 billion euros out of my fortune and give it to Italians, he said on television, pledging actually 5.3 billion. Surely people aren't that naive, are they? I mean, this is pretty naked patronage.
Mr. Berlusconi has shown to be very poignant, very tenacious, and he's certainly very smart at communicating with the people. Only a few months ago, I would say only actually a few weeks ago, no one would have bet a penny on the electoral outcome he's likely to get on Monday. So, when it comes to communication, I think there is no better politician. Clearly, communication is not the only factor. You also need an ambitious agenda. And I think this is really the question mark that is really surrounding his own coalition. To what extent Mr. Berlusconi will be instrumental in implementing ambitious reforms that he has not implemented in 20 years or so.
So you think he's got a political future then?
Mr. Berlusconi still has a certain political clout. Maybe he will not come back as a prime minister, but certainly there is a good chunk of the Italian electorate who is anti-communist, who is moderate by definition, and therefore, he will still have a chance to sort of to affect the Italian political life, either directly or indirectly. And I think this is really the biggest question now: to what extent, Mr. Berlusconi will be able to affect the Italian political life indirectly by sort of endorsing a new political leader. I think this is really the challenge for a new modern reformist center-right in Italy right now.
Again, I'm speaking with Domenico Lombardi, who's an expert on G20 and G8 summits, international monetary relations and global currencies. His current projects focus on the recent international financial crisis, the ongoing European crisis, and reforms of the IMF and the World Bank. Now, how does what's going on in Italy, given that Mario Monti, the current prime minister, seems to be being punished for the austerity measures that he put through in order to satisfy the rest of Europe and particularly the Germans, I guess, in that's probably why Berlusconi is making an issue out of Angela Merkel. But it gets down to the same argument, doesn't it, Domenico, that we have here in the United States over the sequester. When your economy is faltering and recovering, the last thing you do is take money out of a sick economy. And the Republicans are about to do that here in the United States. And so what are the similarities to your mind?
Well, I think there are some similarities, but also a lot of differences. First of all, the United States was running a deficit close to 13% at the height of the international financial crisis. Italy was nowhere close. Certainly, it's true, Italy has a high public debt. The United States, the United States debt has been rising quite fast as well. But the problem is that Italy is in a monetary union, and therefore, it doesn't have an autonomous monetary policy. So the kind of very aggressive policies that the U.S. Federal Reserve has been enacting to prompt growth, that type of policies was simply unavailable in the Eurozone because the European Central Bank is much more conservative. Also, most recently, there has been an improvement on that side too. The problem is that clearly when your fiscal stance is unsustainable, when you start running high deficits or you have a high public debt, clearly you have to put your house in order. But it doesn't pay anyone if you do that abruptly, if this adjustment is front-loaded. You just compress aggregate demand, you just fill expectations of a contracting economy. No one is willing to spend. So really what you have to do is to manage very carefully a trade-off where you're going to be supportive of aggregate demand in the short run But at the same time, he also laid down a credible, balanced, medium to long-term path of deficit and debt reduction. And I think really this is, you know, the crux of the debate here in the United States, to what extent you have to support short-term domestic demand in the short term versus long-term. In Italy and in some other euro area countries, they just applied the brakes without really taking into consideration the consequences of that. And I think now many Italian households are just paying the consequences of that.
Well, just to change the subject slightly, Domenico Lombardi, when I was mentioning earlier Berlusconi's sexcapades with the young prostitute and sex parties and stuff, which seemed to be kind of endless scandals during his tenure, if he's doing well in the polls, then would that suggest then that the moralistic side of Italian life, led by the Catholic Church, has lost some of its credibility because of all these scandals going on with the church? I don't know whether you were following the story in Repubblica and Panorama about their report of why they thought the Pope resigned because of a sex scandal within the Vatican itself.
I don't really know. I know that the judiciary is certainly investigating on that. But I would say that the difficulty of the of many Italian households go well beyond, you know, the sort of sexual sphere of anybody. And I think really what is at stake in this election is what kind of future, you know, Italians imagine for themselves, whether it's a future of, you know, more austerity, whether it's whether they want to take this opportunity to express a feeling of protest, of opposition to the austerity policies that have been imposed on them, and whether they want Italy to be a little bit more dialectic with Germany and with Europe. It doesn't mean to be a Eurosceptical. It doesn't mean to want the country exit from the Eurozone. But certainly this kind of one-way policymaking, where policies are made in Berlin and then they are imposed on the rest of the Eurozone, certainly will be something that needs to be revised.
Well, Domenico Lombardi, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Domenico Lombardi, who's an expert on G20 and G8 summits, international monetary relations, and global currencies. His current projects focus on the recent international financial crisis, the ongoing European crisis, and reforms of the IMF and the World Bank. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.